Tim Skubick broke the story about the last Friday's press conference held by the governor to tell us the details about the new bridge from Detroit to Windsor, and he's on the other end of our line. Tim, how are you?
Mr. C, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Did you have a good weekend?
Very nice.
All right. Tell us about the bridge deal.
Well, as anticipated, the governor did what's called an interlocal agreement, which according to the state constitution he can do. And he entered into a deal which he signed with the Prime Minister of Canada on Friday, putting to motion the process of building a bridge. But even the governor concedes that this process will go to the courts first, as this section of the Constitution, Tony, that he is using has never been tested before. It's been used before by governors. In fact, former Governor John Engler used this same section to create the MEDC, which is the job creation arm of state government, kind of a quasi-government, quasi-private organization. Now the game really begins in earnest as the Maroon people will try to challenge this thing in court and try to block the bridge before they put one girder in the ground.
Do we know how much of a chance the Maroon family has?
Well, since it's never been tested before, we're in uncharted waters here. It's written into the Constitution. The Constitution says the governor can do it. It's up to the Maroon family to find some constitutional hook to say that he can't.
Tim, there are state legislators like Paul Opsomer, the state representative from the DeWitt area, who are a little bit apprehensive about this deal because they believe down the road someone's going to come to the legislative floor and say, look, we need some money to get this thing finished or keep it going. What do you think about that?
Well, this is obviously one of the concerns that the Republicans in the legislature continue to have, which is why they refused to put up any yes votes to do the bridge and why the governor had to go around them in order to do this agreement with Canada. Basically, their fear is at some point, as you point out, the state will have to kick in some money. The governor has said, and you have to take him at his word, barring any evidence to the contrary, that no state dollars will be spent on this bridge, period.
Tim, from what you know, how much of this is we need the bridge versus a legacy for the governor?
This has nothing to do with his legacy. This guy is not a legacy guy. He's doing what he believes is right. He concluded over a year ago, in fact, on Friday, it was day 513 since he introduced this idea in his first State of the State in January 2011. Go back. Remember, this was a top Democratic proposal. The House Democrats had this at the top of their list, and the governor endorsed it, and the Republicans were chagrined, to say the least, as they sat on their hands and didn't applaud the decision when he unveiled it. This is just Governor Snyder being Governor Snyder. He's concluded that, as other governors have concluded, Mr. Blanchard, Mr. Engler, Ms. Granholm, that this is a way to create jobs. The interesting thing for the Republicans is that the decision they have basically made is that because there is a fear, no proof, there is a fear that tax dollars might be used down the road, they are turning their backs on the creation, the governor would say, of over 10,000 jobs and a stimulus to the economy. Some people, the critics of the Republicans, might say, maybe they've got this one wrong. But obviously the Republicans believe they've got it right, which is why they didn't put up any votes for it in the first place.
As someone who's a veteran at covering statewide political affairs, I want to get your opinion on the decorum of legislators. And for example, we've got this deal going on. You know, is it proper to use words like vagina and vasectomy in the manner that Representative Byron has been?
Well, obviously, the House Republicans concluded that it was not. They thought it violated the decorum of the House. They thought it was unprofessional, and the Republicans have control of the House, and they can make those judgments. But for every reaction, there is a reaction, and now we're in day five of the so-called V story. And as a result of the reading of the vagina monologue on the state capitol steps tonight, we can guarantee you that this will move into day six of this story. And I think from a crass political standpoint, the Republicans may have miscalculated here. The censoring of two state lawmakers, whether they be Republicans or Democrats, is unprecedented. Freedom of speech is a pretty important thing in our country, but the Republicans concluded that this did violate that decorum rule, and they have a right to do it, and now we're going to see if they pay for that politically, because the Democrats, obviously, are going to exploit this issue to the extent that they will raise money. The fundraising letters have already gone out. They expect 2,800 people on the Capitol steps tonight if they don't get rained out. to witness a reading by 9 female state Democrats of this play. And the story, as we say in the biz, is getting legs.
So allowing State Representative Byram and others to speak, even though it may be politically motivated, might have been the best way to go and saved a lot of headaches?
Well, one route, and I'm not suggesting that they should have done this, but the critics are going to say maybe a reprimand rather than a censoring of the lawmakers might have been more appropriate. What I'm trying to get my arms around, and I may not be able to do, is to who was in the room, who made the decision to do this, and they, did they think it through? You know, my approach to politics is when you're going to do something, Tony, always think worst-case scenario. What's the worst thing that could happen if we do this? I'm not so sure they asked themselves that question last week when this decision was made. And if I find out who was in there, we'll do a story on it for you.
All right. So what are you going to be covering for Channel 6?
We're going to do a follow-up on the fireworks legislation. We've talked to the sponsor of the bill who worked about 6 years to get this thing, and now local governments are nibbling away at it, basically saying, yeah, you can go ahead and buy those fireworks, but by gosh, you better not set them off at 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're looking into that as to how municipalities are now responding as we move up to the July 4th deadline. Look, they've got over 200 entities that are selling fireworks in Michigan. No longer do you have to cross the border and sneak into Ohio or Indiana to buy this stuff, but it's causing some problems on the local level.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tony.